Okay, we're live there.
We're live?
Live here.
And Chief Investment Strategist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And whenever you're ready.
They didn't change it at the last minute to something like.
Did not.
Supreme Master of.
Yeah, Master of Time, Space, and Dimension.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to Market Week in Review for the week ending December 8th, 2023. I'm Sophie Antal-Gibert, and I'm joined by my dear friend and colleague, Eric Ristabin, Chief Investment Strategist of Russell Investments. Eric, thank you so much for joining me.
Well,
it's wonderful to see you.
It is truly a pleasure.
Awesome. So I am hoping that we can look forward a little bit today, because this week there hasn't been that much market movement news, so I'm thinking we could use this as an opportunity to look ahead to 2024. Timely also because our strategist team that you are a part of has just come out with their 2024
yep.
outlook, called none other than the Twilight Zone. So my first question to you, Eric, is what does the Twilight Zone mean to you? How did that make it as the cover title of the outlook?
So importantly, the leader of that effort is Andrew Pease, and he thinks of a lot about titles, and I like this title a lot because what it does is it sends a message very clearly, something weird's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the question that the market is talking about is it different this time or is it just longer, right? Meaning, is there going to be a different impact of the Federal Reserve and all the other central banks in the world tightening, you know, extraordinarily quickly and by a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Normally, just some of the signals that we're seeing, normally you'd expect that to result in some pretty serious economic change in terms of growth, ultimately maybe a recession. But we haven't seen the economy weaken, so does that mean it's not having the effect it's always had, or is it just going to take longer?
My
patience is tested. I'm tired of saying neutral. I'm tired of having to say a lot of the same things, because we've basically been talking about the same two issues, inflation and recession, for 18 months now. And I'm tired. I'm sure people are tired of hearing us. But our belief is it's going to take longer this time. And a lot of that has to do with where the weirdness of what we came out of, which was the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a recession where real incomes rose, right? And normally people in a recession, their balance sheets, home balance sheets are hurt. They're not in great shape going into it. And it takes them a long time to recover to be able to spend again. But this time, lots of financial assistance was provided by governments, the U.S., a lot of governments. So people actually were in good nick financially, which is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations have lots of debt, but their debt service is really low. Individuals may have a fair amount of debt, but their debt service is really low, which means their ability to service and pay back their debt is very manageable. Those are odd. And maybe the policy, the central banking policy hasn't had the full effect it normally does. It's because nobody needs to borrow money yet, but that doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
Eventually, companies are going to have to borrow. Eventually, individuals are going to have to borrow to fund spending, and that's when you see the full effects. And 18 months for monetary policy to work its way through the system, maybe two of the 50 basis points or 75 basis points is fully digested by the market. That means there's 4.5 left to come.
So there's two things I want to follow up on there, because you've said a lot,
mm-hmm.
Which is, as usual, very helpful. Just help me unpack a couple of things.
Sure.
You mentioned inflation and recession, and then you also said, I'm kind of getting tired of saying neutral all
right.
the time. So can you help me unpack, especially when people mention the word recession? I think for a lot of us investors, we begin to think, oh my gosh, like, is this 2008?
Hey, everybody.
Oh.
Whoa. Hey.
Here we go.
Mark's here. Thank you. Oh, wow. So this is why I had to trust mom.
Here we go. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, wow. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We're about to break a fire code.
For those of you that are watching, as you know, this is Eric's last week in review before he sets off into retirement. Eric always prides himself on anytime we're recording something, one take. We got to do it in one take. Our goal is that when this is all done, If he can remember what he was saying and can finish smoothly in one take, you'll have lived up to your reputation. The other reason is, for most of you probably don't know, the reason we have Week in Review, Eric's idea. Nearly 10 years ago, we started recording this, usually down on the trading floor with just a couple of us that were doing it. And over time, what has happened, Sophie's been involved in this for years. We've expanded it. It's now being done out of our other offices. We do it in this great studio that we have. But it all really started with an idea that Eric had. So we thought it would just be appropriate to acknowledge his role in this. Everybody here has watched Week in Review, been part of Week in Review. We have a great production team that is involved as well. It is an award-winning episode and show that we have in this industry, and we just want to thank Eric. So we have a party that's going to happen on the other side of this wall in about 2 or 3 minutes. I think we're all going to start.
Well,
Susie, Eric's wife, is here. So we're all going
to
kind of hang out here. You guys do your economic talk and all that, and we'll see you and you in a few minutes.
Perfect. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Susie's over there. Thank you all.
All right, so we were at, Eric. Seriously, you guys can go party. We'll be right there. So recession and inflation. When we say recession, oftentimes investors sort of begin to worry. Is this like 2008 all over again? Is this 2020 all over again? When you say recession for next year, maybe, what are you thinking? What do you picture?
We have a 55% probability of a recession in the next 12 to 18 months. That's been in place for a while, which is kind of it's taking longer this time, part of the story. But I mentioned two things about what was different this time, because there are things that are different. Households financially are in good shape, and corporations actually have very manageable debt servicing burdens. Doesn't mean every corporation, so there's always the offenders that get caught out when the tide goes out, as Mr. Buffett's fond of saying. But we don't think that's a systematic issue. The good news about that is that when you're in that position and other factors potentially force a recession, the consumer in particular, because 70% of our economy is consumption, and that's not dissimilar from other developed markets. So it's a pretty mid-60s is pretty common for developed markets. That means when kind of people become more confident about the economy, they can go back to spending, right? They didn't get themselves in tremendous amounts of debt. They have the ability to spend when they feel it's safer to spend. And when you have that condition, usually what you have is a more mild or moderate recession. So, you know, I don't think the next recession is going to have the descriptor of great in front of it. Other may be great because it wasn't that bad. But it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be, in my opinion, anything that's particularly profound because of how good a shape consumers and corporations are in terms of the cash on hand to be able to meet current burdens.
Well, that is a great relief. Now, I am allowed 3 questions.
Sure.
And we do have quite an audience here today. This is not normal. But this is going to be a one-take wonder. So, this is your last Market Week in Review, as Mark just said. What are your parting words of wisdom for the rest of us who are not going to be able to walk over the threshold for the last time of the studio?
Well, it very rarely is different, truly different. So keep that in mind. Overreaction is incredibly costly, right? This is the third major time in my career, I have been told 60-40 is dead.
The 60-40 portfolio.
The 60-40 portfolio. Diversification is dead, right? Mm-hmm. The relationship of financial markets to each other has changed dramatically. The rules that used to govern, you know, physics in the past don't apply. I'm pretty sure we're going to get the same result that we got the first 2 times they told me it was dead, which is it comes roaring back because the relationship between equities and bonds isn't broken. What happened in last year, which was really painful for people where both went down a lot, was because of inflation. Right? That's what happens when you get inflationary. Things didn't change. It's just that the environment that presented itself was different than we've experienced in a long time. But the relationship between the asset classes didn't change at all. I don't think it's changed. Don't overreact, because overreaction is the most costly thing I've seen. When investors see something bad happen or something good happen and they decide this is the reason I'm going to get rid of risk or I'm going to add risk, you know, usually not. Yeah, I always tell people, you're a good financial advisor tells you to do what you don't want to do and stops you from doing the things that you want to do, because we as human beings are fundamentally flawed as it comes to investing. So don't overreact. High times of uncertainty, as we're in now, that's why you have a plan. When things are uncertain, stay closer to plan, which is why we're saying be neutral, basically. But it is tiring. It's tiring for me and it's tiring for them to hear, but it's the right thing to say.
Yeah, neutral isn't passive. It's just stick to your policy.
Absolutely.
Plan. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Eric. Thank you for today. Thank you for the past 10 years and more. We're going to miss you. Thanks a lot.
I'll miss you too, Sophie.
And thank you for joining us. We'll be back again soon.
Thank you.